Looking back, Despicable Me 2 has NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff heating up with ideas to challenge your students with engineering problems.
Good night, Edith. Good night, Marco. Hold the horses. Who are you texting?
My friend Avery.
Avery. Avery. Is it a girl's name or a boy's name?
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter unless it's a boy.
With the new Minions film set to release July 10th, I thought it would be fun to look back at Despicable Me 2, the 2013 sequel to Despicable Me of 2010. For those of you unfamiliar with these films, Felonious Gru is a supervillain who turns good by the end of the first installment. Gru's team includes Dr. Nefario and hundreds of bright yellow Minions. The Minions speak a strange patois containing English, Spanish, and at least a few other languages. In Despicable Me, Gru, who was voiced by Steve Carell, began taking care of three young orphans, Margot, Edith, and Agnes.
Good night, Agnes. Never get older.
He continues in his fatherly role to these three girls and his minions in the second film. Instead of plotting dastardly deeds, though, Gru has turned his attention to manufacturing jam, with the assistance of Nefario and the minions. Though the jam is terrible, it is not evil enough to satisfy Nefario, who takes his expertise in fiendish science elsewhere. Not long after Nefario's departure, Gru is kidnapped by Special Agent Lucy Wilde, voiced by Kristen Wiig, and convinced by her boss, Silas Ramsbottom, to join their work with the Anti-Villain League, or AVL. The AVL is searching for the thief of a dangerous mutagen, PX-41. Gru and Lucy go undercover in a shopping mall to try to find out who has the PX-41 and how they're planning to use it. Teachers could use Despicable Me 2 as a way to motivate an engineering design challenge or to kick off a discussion of heat, temperature, and thermal energy. Since the next generation science standards include engineering more explicitly than prior science standards, many teachers are looking for ways to incorporate engineering practices into the classroom. Clearly defining a problem and designing a solution through an iterative process are two practices that can be difficult for students to develop without many opportunities to practice. I suggest three different challenges for three different age levels, inspired by DEM2. First, paper airplanes. There are a lot of flying objects in this movie. Airplanes, rockets, a hang glider, and Gru's flying pollution machine. Lucy Wilde's hang gliding scene could be used to kick off a challenge for students to build a paper airplane that stays in the air as long as possible. Teachers will need to decide what material students have to use and how the planes will be launched. Students should be encouraged to try several designs, test them, make revisions, and test them again. A villain named El Macho has a home at the top of a plateau, and a large section of the building hangs over the edge of the mountain. See the picture in the online version of this podcast. This presents an engineering challenge. How could that building be held up? Middle school or high school teachers could set up what material students would have to work with, and again need to encourage building, testing, and redesign of the solution. The last design challenge I see coming out of Despicable Me 2 is the construction of a submersible. Lucy Wilde has a car that can transform into a mini submarine with large glass windows. The transforming car is far beyond a classroom project, but a remote-controlled underwater craft could be doable with teacher support. The National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, has a guide that teachers could use to get started on this project. I've got a link to that in the online version of the podcast. One of Gru's favorite weapons is his freeze ray. Early in DM2, he makes the mistake of announcing his weapon before firing at Agent Wilde. She counters with the flamethrower, and the two weapons cancel each other out.
Mr. Gru, Agent Lucy Wilde of the Anti-Villain League, you're going to have to come with me.
Oh, sorry, I... Freeze ray!
You know, you really should announce your weapons after you fire them. For example... Lipstick taser!
This got me thinking about freeze rays in general, and how popular they are in movies and comic books, but how they're not used in real life at all. Many weapons deliver large amounts of heat energy as part of their destructive properties. Flamethrowers, incendiary bombs, and atomic weapons, to name just a few. Why are there no weapons that deliver large cold blasts? It turns out there's a good physical reason for this. It's almost always possible to add more energy to something by heating. There's no practical upper limit to how hot something can get. Temperature is a measure of the average kinetic energy of the particles in a substance. The atoms or molecules in a hotter object are moving faster than those in a colder object. Also, many materials will start to burn and add their own energy once the flamethrower has gotten the process started. Cooling something down means slowing down the particles in it and removing energy from the object. A freeze ray would have to transfer that energy somewhere. or it would immediately return to the cold object and begin to warm it back up. Another implication of cooling and slowing is that you can only slow down so much. When all motion stops, you've reached absolute zero. Things just can't get any colder than that. Getting close to absolute zero is really, really difficult because energy is always coming back into the system to speed up the particles again. Whatever is around the object you are cooling will be constantly adding heat energy back to the object to warm it or melt it. If you do an internet search for freeze ray, you'll find videos of folks spraying water from a squirt gun on a very cold, dry winter day. The stream freezes before hitting the ground and produces a cloud of tiny ice crystals. This wouldn't freeze anyone who was sprayed, so I don't think it qualifies as a real freeze ray. Other folks propose spraying liquid nitrogen from a hose, but that has the problem that liquid nitrogen will start to boil off as soon as it leaves the nozzle and will generally splash off of things before doing much damage. It could asphyxiate someone if this was done in a closed space, as the local atmosphere could become depleted of oxygen pretty quickly. I'm hopeful the upcoming Minions film will be as good as the Despicable Me movies were, but while I wait, I can enjoy the possibility of engineering challenges and thermodynamics conversations inspired by Despicable Me 2.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flix.
Get in here!